Where Your Wings Were by David Armand. For a long time after Barbara died, Mam used to pull my shoulders forward, kiss me, and slip her fingers beneath my shoulder blades. "You as well," she'd whisper. "Just like Barbara, you as well. This is where your wings were. You left them behind when you came here, but be good, and you'll have them back again one day." Barbara was an angel, one of those that God takes early. She was too good to stay here long. She died in infancy, flew straight into God's arms. At night, I tried to imagine her there. I lay in my bed, closed my eyes, tried to dream of her. I told myself that if I did see her, then it wouldn't be dreaming, it would be real. I whispered her name. "Barbara, little sister, little angel, let me see you again." But it wasn't to be. With my eyes closed or with my eyes open, all I could see was the darkness spreading all around. As I grew older and could feel the goodness leaving me, I tried to pray to Barbara, but the words appeared to go nowhere, and they brought me no comfort. Often I fingered my own shoulder blades and tried to imagine my wings, tried to imagine the feathers, bones, and muscles known only to angels. But my fingers encountered my skin, my flesh, my bone, a simple human shape, nothing more. I searched my memory and tried to remember being there myself, so that I might try harder to return. I retreated, went back and back, remembered further, further, tried to imagine being inside my mother, and then the time that preceded being inside my mother. But I could go no further than when I was an infant of 2, maybe 3, certainly before Barbara came. My first memory was nothing of note, just me sitting in a pushchair, staring up at Mam and Dad at her side. "I believe we're in the garden. We've just come through the gate. My parents are so tall, so dark, silhouetted against the blazing sun. I see Mam lean towards me, smiling. 'Look at him,' she says, and I hear their gentle laughter. 'Are you all right, my little angel?' she asks. I feel her light touch on my cheek, hear the first words I remember, naming me as an angel. Before that moment, it is as if there's nothing. I do not exist. Trying to go back only emphasizes my going forward. I become older. And as a boy, as I grew older, I felt myself heading further and further towards a terrible dark. It was painful to lie there, failing to imagine Barbara, with my parents sleeping in the room next door, and to feel the time of dreams approaching. There seemed to be nothing I could do about these dreams. I didn't want them. I didn't encourage them. I didn't even have to imagine them. They just came out of the night, out of my skull. They came at me, night after night after night. I confessed the dreams. At church, I knelt in front of the screen and told Father Omani about them. He was an old man with a gentle Irish voice that never seemed to criticize anything. I knew he must have heard everything before, but I wanted him to get angry, to shout at me, to warn me of terrible punishments. But he just listened and whispered, "Yes, oh dear no, yes." And then he forgave me, told me to pray for purity, and gave me a penance of Our Father's, Hail Mary's, Glory Be's. It was too easy. Even as I said the penance, kneeling at the altar rail, I knew it would happen again, and I wanted to be punished for it properly before it became worse. The dreams, of course, were about women and girls, about any woman or any girl who had caught my eye during the day. In the effort to displace these dreams and to supplement the penances of Father Omani, I spent many of these nights bringing to mind the day of Barbara's death. Late winter, an unblemished morning, sun streaming in at my window, a chorus of songbirds, silence in the house. Still early, 7 a.m. The day before me stretching endless and unused and filled with hope. And then movement, Mam rising, her awful, awful cry. Our poorly sister wouldn't wake, couldn't wake, was already gone to God. Our mother pursued her, called after her, begged her, gripped our sister in her arms, and refused to relinquish her. Colin, Catherine, and I gathered at the fringes, useless. A whole morning of prayer and protest and lamentation, till such silence, and despite the sunlight, such darkness fell again. The doctor was allowed to confirm our sister's death, Father Omani to pray over her. We stumbled from the corners, Mam let us and Dad into her arms, and we wept together and held our cold and long-gone little sister in our useless arms. The dreams changed. One night my head was filled with a kind of fluttering. I turned towards it and saw an angel landing in my dark. She came towards me, floating rather than walking. She was clothed only in white fire, and her wings stood high behind her, covered in pure white feathers, like those of doves. Through the fire I could see her body, shaped like any woman's, but more beautiful than any woman's. Without speaking, she came to me, and I felt her fire all over and inside me. I lay stunned, watching her wings beating gently above us, pure white against the dark. I told Father Romani. He listened in silence. Then there was concern in his voice. "Ah, the tricks of the devil," he said. "They will adopt the most exquisite of shapes. Resist them all. Be firm." I said my penances, but I was far gone. I knew that my angel would come again, that again she would be wonderful, the most wonderful thing I'd known. Night after night she came to wrap me in her fire, and I welcomed her, embraced her, though I knew she was leading me to hell. One night, after she'd been with me for hours, her wings began to beat more quickly, and I felt myself being lifted. I held on tight, gazed into her perfect face as we began to fly through the gentle winds of the dark. She kept looking down at me, smiling to reassure me. We travelled for an age, until the dark began to change, and we entered a pink dawn that slowly changed to white, until the light itself was her fire, and she was so absorbed by it that I could no longer see her. I knew she was there only by feeling her tight in my arms and by the continued rhythmic beating of her wings. I looked from side to side, wanting to see where we were, but there was only the fire on all sides going on forever. I woke in my crumpled bed. There was frost on the window, snow outside. I closed my eyes tight, wanting the angel again, but I was awake. It was ordinary daylight, and she was gone. I didn't confess it. I told myself it was just a dream, nothing to do with becoming bad. I just told the old dreams, the old women and girls. Father Romani said, "I remember that the body is God's temple, and each of us is forever in God's thoughts." The next time it started like snow falling, 1,000 flakes falling from the darkness, each flake a glowing white flame. Then I saw the wings, and beneath the wings the bodies, each one a woman's, but more beautiful than any woman's. A whole flight of angels landed in my dark. The angel I knew came to me first, then the others one by one came to join her, until there were 1,000 angels with me, and wherever I turned was filled with their white fire, their tender faces, their brilliant bodies, their beating wings. We went together, all of us, through the winds of the dark, a fiery swarm with me at the centre, until we entered the pink again and then the white. They peeled away from me there, leaving me the one blemish in all that white. I threw my arms out frantically, striking wings and faces and hair, until my hand was taken, and the angel drew me towards her and laid her arm across my shoulder. "Don't worry," she whispered, and I could tell by the way she spoke that she was smiling. "There's someone to see you." She took my hands and stretched them out into the brightness. My fingertips encountered skin, hair, eyes, a tender cheek. I felt the lips part, felt breath breaking into laughter. "Barbara," I gasped. "Barbara." I reached down, I lifted her, and at her back I felt the quick fluttering of her own small wings. She put her arms around my neck and kissed me and spoke my name. "Oh, Barbara," I gasped. So much more I wanted to say, so much more I wanted to cry out, but I became speechless. I could only hold her, feel her as happy and tiny as she always was, feel the life continuing to burn and sparkle in her. "You see," she said, and her voice was filled with delight. "You see, I'm all right. Everything's all right." Then she was gone, suddenly, flying out into the light, and I knew there was no way to follow her. "You see," the angel whispered, "you see?" "But how?" I said, "how?" She pressed a finger to my lips. "Come with me," she said, "but never say a word." We moved forward, and the white fire burned even more brightly, so brightly that I had to close my eyes against it. When we stopped, she whispered, "Listen." I could hear nothing, only my own breathing and the beating of my heart. "Listen." I started to ask what I should listen for, but then I heard it. Further into the fire, someone else was breathing. Long breaths in and long breaths out, filled with low groans, soft rattling and whistling sounds. "Hear it?" "Yes." She turned me away, and we went back to where I could open my eyes again. "What was it?" I asked. "That was God, fast asleep. He'll wake up soon. Hold on tight." Back we came through the pink and the black, and into my room's darkness where we came to rest. She giggled like Barbara had, and held me at arm's length, preparing to leave. "Don't go," I said. "Everyone will wake up soon," she said. "When can I come back again?" I asked. She touched my cheek and smiled and shook her head. "One day," she said, "when you have your wings again." And for the last time she stayed with me, and the white fire that did not burn spread far into me, making me understand how it feels to be angelic. Then she was gone, diminishing to a snowflake, disappearing into the dark. That day, Mam did again what she so often did. She pulled my shoulders forward and kissed me. "You're the bright one this morning," she said. I laughed. I let her slip her fingers beneath my shoulder blades. "Where my wings were," I said, "where they'll be again." She held me close. "It's true," she said. "Even though you're growing up so fast, you have to keep on knowing that it's true." I reached up and for the first time slipped my fingers beneath her own shoulder blades. "You as well," I told her. "Yes, me as well. All of us. Barbara, you, me, all of us. Everybody." And then we were silent, and we felt for a moment the fire within us burning, until Dad came in, and we giggled, imagining together the white feathers rising from his hairy back and beyond his balding head. It was the first time I'd asked Father Romani anything, and it was the first time he became angry. "If we're like this when we're in God's thoughts," I said, "what are we like when we're in his dreams?" His hand struck the thin screen between us. He shouted at my blasphemy and gave me 5 decades of the rosary to say. I didn't say them, though. I knew that God slept, that even angels weren't always good, that I'd have my wings back again one day, and that dreams were only dreams.